Testament reading today is from Deuteronomy, one of the books of the law. This is considered Moses' farewell address to the people of Israel, and he is reminding them of the laws that were given to him on Mount Sinai. We know them as the Ten Commandments. Verse 6, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, so that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. Neither shall you commit adultery. Neither shall you steal. Neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor. Neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife. Neither shall you desire your neighbor's house or field or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The other lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. In the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, we hear these words from Jesus from Matthew 5, verses 38 to 45. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ.
We are blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
We are blessed in so many ways, and this morning we're blessed with having Reverend Jeff Childs. He's an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. He's also retired United Methodist elder. Now, in the United Methodist Church, we have this thing, and I guess in most churches, right, we have this thing where, pastors fail their test of retirement because they don't retire. They get the paper that says they're retired, and then they just keep working. So our pastor, Jeff, is one of those pastors who retired just last year, and the first thing he did, he went and spent a few months working in Alaska, right? Of all places. He said it was a nice place to go, right? in the summer. And but it was a wonderful blessing for him and the people he was serving in that place. It was a campsite, and it was a wonderful place to be with folks coming from different parts of the state, but also different parts of the country. And he was able to be there for them as they were doing mission work in different parts of Alaska. So it was indeed a wonderful ministry for him. And he, of course, has a heart for mission. And so he has been doing a lot of that, and he will continue doing some of that as he also moves on to do some other mission work in the next few months. But Reverend Charles is also someone who has been appointed, and so he received an appointment to start as a pastor in a local church starting this summer. Because, of course, you know, retirement is just a word. Amen? Amen? And so he decided that he can do that. We are blessed to have him here. As you know, of course, he has been singing in our choir. He has been participating in our church, and he has been a blessing to all of us here at Trinity. And so we are blessed to have him, and we will enjoy having him here as long as he wants. Amen? And you just make sure you tell him when you see him next time, you know, we love to have you still here. We are indeed blessed, and we are honored to have Pastor Jeff Childs bringing the word of God this morning to us. So, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Laser, thank you for that. I've shared with some people, I'll share a little bit with all of you. I was ordained 36 years ago in the Minnesota Annual Conference. I then moved to Upper New York for the last 17 years. I've been serving churches in the Buffalo area, in Rome, New York, and most recently on one of the Finger Lakes at the Penn Yan United Methodist Church. But I retired from full-time ministry, and I found that it was a good break. For me, it was a sabbatical. I was supposed to take those every 7 years. I never took one, so this year I took one. It's been a joy. But in that time, I've also preached at other churches, sang, as Eliezer was saying. And depending on the timing today, we may sing something today as well as a part of my message. We'll see. Anyway, I moved to Frederick back in November after I was done in Alaska because I have a daughter who teaches at Hood College. And that's a draw in itself, but she also has a one-year-old son. So I have a grandson that lives here, and a couple times during the week I get to pick him up from daycare, take him on a stroller walk around town, and it's been a blessing. And I anticipate I will continue to do that. I'm not moving very far away. The district superintendent, as of July 1st, will appoint me into the area around Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. So I've moved around. I was in the Army for a while, and I've lived in California. I grew up in Pennsylvania. I lived in Germany while I was in the service. I was in Minnesota for a long time, New York for a long time, Maryland a very short time. But it has been a blessing to be here. Before I moved here, I kind of drove around. I saw the big cross and flame on the end of the building, saw the district superintendent's office, stopped in and visited with the DS a year ago, and then likewise stopped in to see Eliezer and said, you know, I'm thinking about coming down here and if there's something I can do, but I can't come right away because I'm going to Alaska. And so yeah, I've just been blessed to be among you and to worship with you and today to share a message with you. So let me share a little bit, and we'll see how this goes today. Will you join your hearts in prayer with mine? Let us pray. Oh, holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be a blessing to you. Open our ears to hear the message you wish to speak to us today, and help us to live it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So over the years, I've done various things during Lent. I've preached a number of sermon series. I've never done one by the man who put this one together, Matthew Roll from down in Louisiana. I'm hoping to meet him while I'm in Louisiana doing my next mission phase. But I have been amazed by what he has written and how he has pulled things together from Les Miserables. Or the miserable ones. I don't know how you want it. You know, speak in tongues. First thing I need to let you know, I was a horrible reader as a kid. I was always in the slow section. I just could not read. Tough going through seminary and college without being able to read. But I was in math and science in college. I was a little easier. Seminary, you can't get around it. But I was blessed. My first wife was a German teacher, and when I'd finally get to the library to pick up those resource books, all the ones in English were gone, but the German ones were sitting there, and sure enough, she'd translate some. I'd say, that's good, let's put it in the paper, and sure enough, I made my way through. So anyway, as I've retired, I've done some things. One is I've always wanted to be in all 50 states with a mission to Alaska. I made it to state number 49. Flying back, I could have come direct, but why? Why not go through Hawaii and make the 50th state? And so I have done that. Check that off the list. One of the other is I discovered a list out there by the New York Times, 100 best movies, 100 best books to read. And I thought, by golly, I can read my way through those books in retirement. I can't even find some of those books in the library, but I have read through about 50 of them. This one was not in it, perhaps because it was that big. But the library had a copy of Victor Hugo's tome. And lo and behold, actually, two copies. I went down on Monday. I picked it up. I thought I'd speed read with Evelyn Wood, see what I could do. I read the first 100 pages, the last 150 pages. The middle I kind of remembered from the movie Les Mis, if you've seen the movie. All right. But anyway, what I discovered was both copies downtown had never been opened. Their spines were just clean and clear. This one at least has a little wrinkle because I've at least tried to do some of the reading. But if you're into reading, check it out at the library. Or again, I know there is the smaller book, and some of you are studying the story from the eyes of Pastor Matt Rawl, who put this sermon series together. And so let me get you into that, if I can, by what I have to say today. I grew up with three-point sermons, and the first point for me today is the grace of Jean Valjean. Okay, he's the hero of the story, if you will. If you don't know the story at all, I'll try to bring you up to speed. But there is a sense in this character through these 130-some pages really develops. He's a lot different of a character that we find at the end than what we find at the beginning. And actually in the book, he doesn't even show up till after 100 pages. The first chunk of the book is about a local priest or bishop who later he will rob, and telling his backstory as to why he's so generous. But anyway, when we see Jean Valjean on the movie, he shows up in prison. He had robbed someone of a loaf of bread, got 5 years hard labor for that, tried to escape a few times, ended up getting 14 more years of hard labor, 19 years in prison. A pretty hardened character by the time he is released. And then when he's released, he has a record. And every time he comes into a village, he has to go to the police department or people in charge and tell them who he is, show them what he has as a yellow passport that indicates he's not the kind of person you want in this town. And so people would just kind of move him on and make sure that he didn't stay long until he comes into this community where the priest finds him asleep out in the street because no one would take him in. And he takes him in, and he gives him dinner, and, sets out the good silverware, actual silver, silver plates, silverware, silver cups, and offers him a bed that night. And during the night, Jean Valjean wakes up, kind of fixated on that silver, and he goes and he robs the priest, takes everything, puts it in a bag, hops over the wall, and runs. Lo and behold, he gets arrested within hours, brought back to the priest, and the soldiers are anticipating the priest is going to throw the book at him because, that's what you should do to a guy like this, but he doesn't. He says to Jean Valjean, "You forgot to take the silver candlesticks," and proceeds to take them off the table and to give them to Jean Valjean and tells the officers, "He didn't steal these, I gave them freely to him." And they left. And then the conversations, pretty short conversation, given 1,300 pages, you could have at least done a couple of chapters on it, but short little conversation, the priest, lets him know, God has given you these to do something good. Go and do something good with this gift. Change your life. Turn it around. And then the story continues on. Maybe it's in there because I didn't read those middle 1,000 pages. But I don't know that you ever hear again about this priest back in that particular community. And it reminds me, you know, I've been preaching now for 36 years before I retired. I preached a number of sermons. I did a number of things in congregations. I never know how things turn out because after 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you get moved on to another and you stay in touch with a few people. But I have no idea where some of those kids I confirmed or one I know was ordained into the United Methodist Church later on. But, you know, I'm kind of like a farmer planting the seeds, and I don't stick around to find out how some of those seeds grow 20, 30, 40 years later. So it is here with this priest. He just compels Jean Valjean to do something good. And sends him off. And lo and behold, if you do read the story or watch the movie, you'll discover he did go and do some good things. He became industrious and he had a business and he hired people and tried to help people. In the later days, he was giving away money and trying to help folks who were struggling. I mean, the time frame here is the French Revolution and a little bit beyond. And it was tough times in France. And lo and behold, he was doing the best he could. Including to a woman, I'm guessing you're going to tell about Fantine or Cosette, but let me just touch base. There was a woman who was in his factory, and you know some things happened, and they discovered she had a child out of wedlock. And so anyway, the woman is put out. Lo and behold, the woman is on her deathbed. And Jean Valjean promises to find her daughter and raise her up, and he does. And so that's the rest of the story. But Eliezer will preach about that. Anyway, today, just let me tell you that I think the story is our story. I think the story is a universal story. I see this story as a story that we might recall from Scripture. And that story I call the prodigal father. Now again, you know it as the prodigal son, right? And so I got to ask you, all you English literature majors, what's the word prodigal mean? Whoa, you didn't know there was going to be a quiz, did you? No. We may not know that word, but we probably know the opposite. Frugal. Frugal, prodigal. Frugal, pinch pennies. I told people, my dad could pinch a penny till Abraham Lincoln cried. Until he was a grandfather. And then he'd just lavish money on the grandkids, but not when I was growing up. Okay? We also know another derivation of the word prodigal. Prodigy. Huh? Prodigy. What's a prodigy? Well, we usually think of child prodigies. Maybe you think of Mozart as a child. You know, those of you who are younger, I don't know. Michael Jackson. You know, some kid who really had a great gift. But what I'm discovering is that prodigality, if you will, lets us know that people were gifted. And isn't that what the father does? He lavishes on the son what the son asked for. All of his portion of dad's wealth, okay? Now, you need to know there's an older brother. He doesn't ask for that. You may be a younger, you may be an older sibling. You know life's not fair because, you know, if you're the older one, they never did that for me, but the younger one gets away with murder, right? And that's really because of you. You kind of broke the mold. You kind of softened them up a little bit, and then the grandchildren come along, and I've already shared that story. But you know what I'm talking about. That older son was not too pleased. Maybe he was pleased to get rid of his brother at that point in time. We can get by, and we can get by without that bum. And lo and behold, he goes off and he spends everything. And that's where we get that sense of prodigalness of the son. He just lavishly lives. Okay, I think he was living the Ten Commandments. I asked this one be read because it's different than Exodus 20 in one commandment. The commandment is the same. Why do we rest on the seventh day? In Exodus 20, God rested on the seventh day, right? 6 days he created everything. We know that story. But did you hear what was read today? It was not that story. Get out your Bibles, okay? And look at Deuteronomy 5. It says, we rest on the Sabbath day because we were slaves in Egypt. And we never got a day off. And we're going to take a day off and give thanks to God that we're free. Now the younger son said, why take one? I'm going to take all seven off, right? And he goes, and without working, he just kind of lavishly blows through all of his money until finally he has to go and be a pig farmer, go take care of feeding the pigs, realizing, hey, guys working for my dad did a whole lot better than I'm doing. I'm out of here. I'm going back home, be a slave. And what does dad do? Oh, that old prodigal father. He welcomes the son home, puts a ring on his finger and a robe on his back. Lo and behold, big feast for this son. who some might think a bum. Older son thought that. But no, the prodigal father lavishly gave again to the son. Last week, Pastor Mark talked about another story that I would rename. It was the prodigal Samaritan. Oh, I know it's a good Samaritan, but you don't know any Samaritans anyway. So let me tell you about this guy. He was very prodigal. When he found this guy by the side of the road, what did he do? He healed him, bandaged him up, took him to an inn, and what? Reached into his pocket and took out what he thought was going to be needed to take care of the guy. He didn't say, well, it's not my problem. I'm not going to touch him. That was what the other two guys did. The Levite. The Pharisee. They lived by different rules, folks. Not just the Ten Commandments, but all those commandments. One of which says, you know, you can't be soiled by blood. It's kind of like coronavirus. You know, don't touch him, right? Because you might get it. And you can't go and do your duties at the temple if you've touched blood in the last week. So they did what their duty called them to do, what the laws they grew up with taught them to do. They walked by on the other side, but not the prodigal Samaritan. So today I want to talk about your experience. What gracious gifts has God given to you? How has God prodigally given to you those gifts? And if you will, I believe we're all children of God. I believe you are gifted by God. You're a prodigy. You didn't know it when you came in this morning, but you are. You're gifted by God. And so I encourage you to use that gift, whatever that gift is. One of mine happens to be talking or preaching. But whatever the gift is, will you put that gift into God's hands and say, I give this to you. Help me to put it into practice. What might we now share with others by prodigally giving ourselves? All right. So that's a bit of the Jean Valjean story. He does. It takes him 1,000 pages to get there, but he gets there. Okay? May it not take us so long. Second point I want to talk about is about the justice of Police Inspector Javert. Jean Valjean, kind of the protagonist. Javert, the antagonist in the story. Yeah, good guy and bad guy, whatever you want to use. But there is a story here about this guy. He was a guy who followed the rules. Okay, he was an inspector. He was a legal person. He was the one who was searching for Jean Valjean, going to put him back into prison. And he was the one who had a sense of right and wrong, black and white, good and bad. No shades of gray with Jean Valjean. He lives by the rules and he enforces the rules. And so how might we experience how God touched this man as well? It's a tragic story. For as it goes on, Javert and Valjean find themselves in the midst of the uprising of 1832 in Paris. It was mostly the educated college students who were rebelling with the rules and the laws put down by the government. And they barricade the streets and they're ready to rebel. Lo and behold, Javert, as the police officer, goes in as a spy to find out who all the people are behind the barricade, hopefully to get them all arrested. And we don't really know how Jean Valjean gets in there, but he does as well. And when Javert is discovered as a spy, they're ready to kill him. And Valjean volunteers to execute him. And he takes him out. He shoots a pistol into the air, but he lets him go free. And this kind of blows Javert's mind. His sense of right and wrong was he was should be dead. But he was blessed with grace. A new sense of justice for Javert that he'd never known. And it was an opportunity for him to grow in that grace. But instead, he takes his own life by jumping into the Seine River in Paris. I'm wondering if there are some stories that we might live with for a moment. If you think about the rules you live with and how hard it is when the rules change. Again, for that older son in that story of the prodigal father, he had rules, I'm sure, growing up, right? You kids, I'm glad some of you stayed. You got rules, right? Mom and dad says something about washing dishes or, you know, you can only stay out so long. You know, those may have changed. I mean, you know, my grandson's one. His rules are pretty strict in terms of what he can do and where he can go. We will struggle with him when 13 and 18 come around. But for right now, yeah, rules are pretty simple with a one-year-old. But same way for the rest of us. We've experienced rules change, haven't we? Some we might rejoice and give thanks for. Some we might say, oh, miss the good old days. I mean, there used to be blue laws, right? Couldn't shop on Sunday morning because you're supposed to be in church. Oh, well, let's talk about church. Ladies, where are your hats and gloves? Come on, raise your hand if you bought gloves. Yeah, I know, coronavirus, you'll have gloves next week. That's not the same. But you know, growing up, when guys tell me where the suits are. Oh, yeah, jacket, open collar. Yeah, you wouldn't have got around that one back in the 1950s, right? And there have been other rules that have changed. There are rules that are changing even as we speak. And some we might be waiting for and hoping for. Others we might not really want. Because that's not the way it should be. It should be the way it's always been. And I don't know what it's always been. But take some time today. Talk with people. If you're going out to lunch with your family, talk about the rules back in the day. How things have changed in your world, in your life, in your family. In May, the United Methodist Church is going to be talking about a rule. We've had a rule since the church came together in 1968 about ordination or not of people who are LGBTQ doing marriages of same-sex persons. Word is that is going to change in May, but we never know till we get there. But if it does change, I know some of my colleagues are going to leave the denomination because they just can't go there. Maybe some of you are the same mindset. Others of us will struggle wishing that we could stay together, but we've tried to do that for the last 50 years, and it's been a real struggle for some. So as we continue to move forward as a community of faith, as we continue to move forward understanding the rules and laws of God, what might we hear today? Well, I want to talk about the gracious justice of Jesus. Point three. We're almost done. Okay. So again, as we take a look at it, Pastor Mark last week didn't talk about the Ten Commandments. Oh, I should tell you. I usually ask my congregations, how many of the Ten Commandments can you remember? So if you don't want to listen to me, just get a bulletin in the margin, see how many you can write down. Average is four from all the years I've asked that. Okay, there are ten of them. They were just read for you when in one ear and out the other, my guess. You can hang on to maybe four, five, six. I have usually had one in every congregation could get all ten. Can tell you, I did not. I tried that when I was working on this sermon. I got eight. That's a B in my book, and I passed, okay? But that's a whole another story. But again, maybe while you're having dinner, sit together with your family and say, how many of them do we remember? Don't look them up first. Look them up later, either in Exodus or in Deuteronomy. So what is this story about the gracious just of Jesus all about? Last week, Pastor Mark talked a little bit about a great commandment. Not the Ten Commandments, but the great commandment. Remember that one? That one's easier to remember than all ten. It's only one of them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a good one to remember. I want to take it one step further in what I recall, and that's the golden rule. Now, I've learned it in many different English translations. I like a modern translation that came out about 10 years ago in the Common English Bible. And in that translation, it primarily says, treat people the way you want to be treated. You didn't learn it that way. Treat people the way you want to be treated. You learned, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Like, that's the way you talk today when you go to dinner. Oh, do order that from the menu, and I will undo that as well. All right. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Now, there is a Halloween version of that. That is trick-or-treat people, but I don't want you tricking people. I haven't seen many tricks over the years anyway. Not an outhouse turned over. Maybe a little toilet paper. Maybe a little pumpkin smash. But mostly it's treat people, right? And we always treat with candy. Unless you're a dentist, and then you're probably handing out string, right? Dental floss. All right, but think about it. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And I can shorten it to two words and tell you the law is treat people. What are you going to do today to treat someone so they feel treated today? And I will challenge you to treat someone without them finding out it was you. Okay, kind of like that Secret Santa thing. But the sense is, yeah, I treat you and what? Oh, you owe me now, treat me. No, sneak out there somewhere and treat someone the way you'd like to be treated. Treat someone the way you, and maybe only you, can treat them today. Well, I also have a different translation of the gospel. Again, I think we had it from the New Revised Standard Version. I've been using the Common English Bible. I'm going to read it one more time because it says some things just a little bit different. Oh, we're running out of time. All right, hurry up. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, you must not oppose those who want to hurt you. If you people slap you on the right cheek, you must turn the left cheek to them as well. When they wish to haul you to court, take your shirt, let them have your cloak as well. When they force you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to those who ask, and don't refuse those who wish to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and on the good, sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, Javert knew everything about eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You break the law, you're going to jail. Okay? But Jean Valjean had a different understanding. Even though this guy has wanted to chase him and persecute him, he set him free. Today, I want you to think about those times when you've had an opportunity to live, to give, to be what Jesus was calling his disciples to be. The sermon title today, as I put it together, is Grace Ever Just? Tragically, in the story, we find Javert doesn't believe so. Can't deal with it. I believe that older son in the prodigal father story couldn't deal with it. He wasn't going to go in and party with his brother. He was hoping for him to come back as a slave. He could rule over him for the rest of his life. What? Now I got to treat him as an equal again? That's not fair. You ever say those words? It's not fair. Yeah, it's not. That's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus died on the cross for you. That's not fair either, but he did it. Okay? It's all about what Jesus did, not what you do. You're not getting brownie points by doing good things. Treating people will not get you into heaven. It's what God expects of you. As you have been treated, go and treat others. As you have been loved, go and love others. That's what the story is all about. All right, let me give you an audible. I can close here, or I'd like to sing a little song. Do you like singing? I know these good do. I like to sing. There's an old song about how Jesus interacts with us. You may or may not know it, but I know it not only as the song, but I also know it with a bass section. So this one's for you, basses. I know the Lord. I know the Lord, I know the Lord has laid his hand on me. Oh, I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord has laid his hand on me. You got it. Now, basses can't handle that much. So the basses get what's called the bullfrog counterpoint. Sounds like a bullfrog, but it's not. It goes like this. Listen, listen, listen. Listen, guys, listen. Any of you, listen, listen, listen. I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord has laid his hand on me. Oh, I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord has laid his hand on me. Receive the blessing and the grace of our Lord and Savior. This is the word of God for the people of God. This is the message for you today. Take it and live it. Be prodigal in the way you share it. I share with you that I always print a copy of my sermon. There's some out on the table there, some out on the visitor's table. If you'd like one, primarily I usually say, take one to somebody who didn't show up today because they really need it. But you might need to refresh your memory because you forgot the first 2 points already. But take it with you, share it with someone, pass it on in the name of Jesus Christ. Alleluia and amen.